What's up, Warpore family? It is your boy, C-Dub. Jhenai Broom returns for his final season for the 24-25 season. Let's talk about what that means for Auburn basketball moving forward, as well as how this roster shapes up for the following season.
You're listening to the Auburn Express. Powered by
the Warpore.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Auburn basketball received some good news, perhaps some good news for the first time. Well, I guess we got a pickup in the portal that I covered recently. But in terms of a player returning for the upcoming season, Jhenai Broom returns to Auburn. Let's take a look at his stats last year, just to look at what production that Auburn returns. This is what Jhenai Broom did last year for Auburn. He averaged 16.5 points per game, good for eighth in the SEC. He was 35% shooting from the three-point line, 8.5 rebounds a game, good for second in the SEC, 2.2 assists per game, 2.2 blocks per game, good for second in the SEC, all on while averaging 24 minutes a game, and led the SEC in double-doubles with 14. A lot of production is returning at the center position. It was also announced that Dylan Cardwell also was going to return. I think that was announced over the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So Auburn looks good at the center position. I'm going to ask you guys, starting with you, Mike G, what are your thoughts and what does this mean for Auburn moving forward with Jhenai Broom returning for his final season, sir?
Somebody's bank account hurt, guys, because they dropped a hell of a big bag to get him back. And you won't be able to convince me otherwise. Look, man, he had a monster season last season. You know, we've talked about this off camera that obviously there's still parts of his game that he can, you know, that he can work on. And right now, this is the beauty of NIL. Without NIL, Jhenai Broom's gone, guys. There's absolutely zero way that he's staying at Auburn without NIL. So, you know, kudos to them for figuring out a way to help make that happen for Jhenai. You know, in terms of like what it means for Auburn, like you return your best player. Yeah. Bruce Pearl, in his whole history of Auburn, I mean, could this be the first year that he actually returns his best player for the next season?
I mean, it's the second year in a row because I would consider Jhenai Broom the best player from the year before last as well. So,
you know what I mean?
Returning again for another time as the best player, that's pretty unheard of.
Guys, unheard of in college basketball.
This time around.
Yeah, so being able to return your best player, because it seems to me, it occurs to me that the more experienced teams are making deeper runs into the tournament, they're lasting longer at the end of the season. You can be a young but supremely talented team, and experience is winning NCAA tournament time. So having Jhenai Broom back, I think it increases likelihood that Auburn can make a deep tournament run, given they can get past, you know, whoever's in the first round. But this is huge. This is a huge win for Bruce Pearl. Look, man, you know, every year Bruce has to beat the taking a better job allegations. Every single year. You know, and so not only did he beat the allegations, he got his best player to come back, man, and not go pro. That's amazing. This is big. I mean, we showed the numbers, so you guys know what that means statistically for Auburn. You know, having the second leading rebounder, like the second in blocks, and you know, he does so many things that you can't quantify in stats. Like when Jhenai Broom is in the game, it changes the game, and you know, this is a huge win for Auburn.
Ike, your thoughts, man, and talk about, I guess, Jhenai's game and the fact that Auburn really ran its offense a lot through Jhenai Broom. I guess we can expect more of the same this upcoming year, but just what do you think this means for Auburn next year?
Yeah, I think Jhenai realizes that he still has some things to do to impress the professional scouts in the NBA, where his ultimate goal is, number one. And another year of showing that it wasn't just a flash in the pan will help that a lot. But I also think, you know, he just kind of had a sour taste in his mouth about how the last season ended and wants to come back and figure out how to finish what they started. But as far as his game is concerned and how this helps the team, it gives you less that you have to worry about as far as continuity. You know, B. Will isn't here, so I'll steal his word. Continuity is concerned with the offense and the flow, right? Like they can just continue to do what they've done, plug and play with some key pieces, which we'll talk about kind of the composition of the team later on. But, and then too, it gives you a guy who, last year when we talked to Janai during the fireside session, he talked about his desire to go out and cultivate the kind of locker room that you ultimately saw and heard people talk about all the time. Those guys enjoyed the game of basketball. They liked being on the same team and in the same locker room. And I think that he wants to cultivate that once more, but finish the job this time. He's a guy who's been unselfish and wanting to, you know, he's accepted the fact that, all right, I'm going to split time. And I know it's going to hurt my overall numbers, right? Like I'm not going to be ranked in the top 10 in points per game, but I'm going to be ready for the end of the season. Now I do wonder if this season they're going to say, all right, we're going to play a little bigger, right? And let him be out there a little bit more. But yeah, Janai's game it's fine. It's great for what Coach Bruce Pearl has adapted his offense to be able to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how that adaptation continues to unfold as some new pieces are added around Janai as the focal point. Because there's some young guards that are coming, and then there's new guards that are coming that are going to change kind of the dynamic of how this goes.
Yeah, you know, that's probably like Bruce Pearl's underrated superpower, getting new guys to come in and play like they're seasoned in his system. Hmm. You know, Cheney's development last year was pretty incredible. You know, Denver Jones, same thing. Like those guys showed marked improvement from, you know, first game to last game. And think about how much better those guys are going to be after a whole other offseason in this program. So you got Janai coming back, and that teamwork and that chemistry and that team bond, I think they can take that and do something extra special. Now, I felt like, and I still stand by this, despite what happened to Yale, that last year's team was Bruce Pearl's best team. I don't care what happened to Yale, because the 2018, 2019, they almost lost to New Mexico State in the first round. Like, they needed a near miracle to get out of there. This time, they didn't get their miracle, but this was still a really, really, really good team. And if you think about in terms of what they lost, I love Trey Donaldson's game, and I still think Aiden Holloway has the ability to be a star. But in terms of what they lost in production, you can replace that. I think those stats are replaceable. If you go out, you know, can JP McGee play the role that Trey Donaldson played last year? We know he can hit big shots.
Yeah. The only question that Ike brought up, I thought was a good point, is defense. Just what does he do? What does he bring defensively? And that's yet to be determined.
They'll fix that. They'll fix that. Trust me. You're not going to not play defense on this squad.
Oh yeah, no, you're not even going to be. I after watching Pegues' film a little bit, I like what he brings defensively from just a tenacity standpoint. And again, we'll talk more about the roster. But hey, Green Name Gang. I got you. I got you on JP Pegues, y'all. So we're going to get in and we're going to talk about him for sure.
Okay. All right. Mm. All right.
All right.
Do you think that Broom needs to show scouts this year, seeing as though this is his last year at Auburn? What does he need to show that he can be a high draft pick? Like, what are some of the things that you see?
I think, honestly, the biggest thing for him is going to be defending the post a little bit better. Like he got abused a little bit one-on-one versus some of the better post players. Now, some of that was him trying to avoid foul trouble in spaces, but yeah, those big post players on offense had their way with Jahni Broome in a couple of games this season. So he needs to work on his ability to be more stout there. And that's saying a lot because I think he did a really good job a lot of the season on that. And then conversely, how he deals with taller players playing at the center position slash power forward position, how he deals with that offensively and figuring out a way to be more effective. Because, you know, when he was the bigger guy, he was a bully. Right. But when you talk about the games that Auburn lost, and particularly you're talking about stuff like that Florida game, right, where the length bothered him in that game. Like, can he prove that he can be better in those types of games next season? I think that's going to be a big thing. And I think the other thing that he's going to have to work on is just being able, he improved much year over year in his ability to shoot the three and his ability to pass out of the double team. I think he needs to show some consistency and growth in those areas. I don't think he has as far to go in that one, but I think that's something that they're going to be wanting to look at for him, because in the league, he's not going to play center, right?
Yeah,
like he's going to play a power forward. So he's going to have to figure out how to play away from the basket a little bit more.
You raised an interesting point about, defending the post, right? Defending down low. It felt like to me, facts or not, that some games I felt like he would play almost the whole game without fouling. And then other games it was like, man, by the 14th minute in the first quarter, he's in foul trouble. He's got to hit the bench and come out of the game. Like, it seemed like the tale of two like extremes there with him in terms of fouls and trying to play without fouling. And then once he gets in foul trouble, he's got to ease up on his man because they need him offensively at the end of the game. He can't afford to foul out.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, some of that is the officiating, right? Like, some games are officiated a little bit differently than others. But I think another portion of that is like who they're playing against and how much that team focuses on running the ball through the post. And so like he's in the action a little bit more in certain games, or like in a game like versus, the guys across the state that where they're not going to focus on the post much at all. Right. Like, not even driving a lot. They're going to shoot a lot of threes.
Yep.
So he's not involved in that action as much. So he can stay out of foul trouble potentially in those games a little bit more than he could in other games. So, again, some of that's about the opponent. Some of that's about the officiating. But definitely it rears his head in certain situations, and he's got to figure out how to play around that kind of stuff.
All right. Let's get to some of the comments. You guys have some thoughts on here. Jonathan Taylor responds and asks, is there a chance Aiden returns to Auburn or no?
No.
I see that as a very low probability. I think Aiden has enough people wanting him to go there. Like, some guys, when they hit the portal, right, like, their prospects just aren't. Like, who's going to want to pick that guy up, and can he get a P5 offer? Aiden Holloway's got a bunch of people that would love to see him walk through their door.
He took a visit to Bama, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what they was talking about in the comments.
I mean, but
that's actually a good place for him.
I said that when he hit the transfer portal that Calipari or Nate Oates would
They're going to let him shoot. Yeah.
He's going to be able to go out there. And again, it's not that Bruce Pearl didn't let him shoot. It's that the system wasn't a system for the guards to be able to go out there and go crazy. They were playing inside out ball. So he was mostly playing off high screen and roll kind of stuff, right? Like, it's going to be different kinds of systems that are more catered towards just go down out there and let it fly. And, sure. And not to say that this is a big deal for Aiden, but the emphasis on how well he plays defense is not going to be a big thing.
Yeah, listen, man, the bottom line is, if he goes to Bama, may he Yale it up every time he plays Auburn. What he did against Yale, that's what I want to see every time he goes
bring
out there.
Yale game.
Yeah, bring your Yale game, baby. It's smart, but, is weak. I think you can replace what he. I mean, you lost a game in the first round of the tournament, by 2 points, where your five star point guard didn't score a point. Your starting point guard didn't score.
Yeah,
from the field. So like whatever.
Had some pretty easy opportunities to do so.
Yeah.
That's the more disappointing thing. It's not as if like he got locked up. It was that he was just missing makeable stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there were guys out there who thrived in the system for whatever reason. He didn't. You know, everybody's saying, oh, Auburn didn't use him right. And, but you know what Bruce Pearl is coming in.
Well, I mean, again, to Ike's point, your roster dictated a lot of how you chose to play. I mean,
yeah,
Broom came back. You want to run the offense through him. And it makes sense because he's clearly your best player on the team. That's going to affect how other guys get their opportunities. They're going to have to find their opportunities within that type of offense. And
yeah,
maybe struggle to do so at times.
Yeah, if he goes to Bama, right, run up and down the court, take as many threes as you want, don't get back on defense. That's Bama ball. Right? Like, that's how they play. And they went on a pretty good run through the tournament doing that, even though they had, like, the easiest path.
The biggest thing I envied is that their path to get
their
there.
Their path was suited. Like, I mean, you know, Bruce Pearl calls basketball a game of matchups. Well, yeah, they matched up well with a lot of teams they played until they got to UConn. And, you know, I don't think anybody matches up well with UConn.
To their credit, they gave UConn a good game, but until they didn't. And UConn was like, oh, yeah, we got to beat them by double digits. Let's
try. They were going to have to shoot, like, literally out of their minds to win that game.
Yeah.
It would have been one of the most ridiculous shooting performances you've ever seen, you know. Some, you know, 70% from the field kind of deal to win that game versus UConn. So if Aiden goes there, it'll be more the style of ball I think that he wants to play. But is it going to be winning ball? They had a chance to win here. And, you know, you got to be able to buy into the coach's vision for what you're doing. I cannot talk about this on the women's basketball side. There's some girls who chose to transfer. And they got some great young girls over there, but some of them didn't see eye to eye with what Coach Jay saw for them.
Yeah.
It happens.
And their role. Right. It happens. And then you got to go find someplace. I hope you're right for your sake. But when you have a coach who's a proven developer of talent, most of the time they're right. So we'll see what pans out. Has anybody really left Auburn and thrived anywhere else on the basketball side?
No. I cannot think of a single person. Well, no, that's not true. Not anybody recently, because there was that one kid like 4 or 5 years ago, and I can't think of his name right now. But, yeah, not anybody recently.
Yeah.
Everybody else who's transferred probably in the last 2 to 3 seasons. Yeah, he went to Baylor. Thank you, Auburn Dad, and I can't think of
it. Davion Mitchell?
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not very common. So people aren't like – finding success outside of Auburn.
Now, there are a lot of people leaving, though. Like, we have a lot of people left this year. But are there a lot of people?
I think every season there's somebody like Johan Traore and Chance Westry left last year, right? The year before that.
Westry was puzzling.
Where did Westry go?
He went to Syracuse? He went up north somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Then you had before that, what's the guy's name that went to Arizona State? Jumps out the gym.
Devin Cambridge.
Yeah, Cambridge left the year before that. I mean, you have one or two guys leave every year, but Alan Flanagan, right?
Yeah,
he played. Alan Flanagan played well at Ole Miss, but like success there.
Did he thrive? He thrived. Right.
Yeah, that was a team in year one with a new coach who was bad the year prior. So they had a decent year.
Nobody told him to go there.
Yeah, he got that ass whooped versus Auburn those 2 games. I don't.
Listen,
that.
I'm just saying. I'm got just
hooked up by Lior.
Lior Burbage. Yes, my guy. They're not making great decisions after they leave Auburn. That's all I'm saying. So, like, I'm not broken up over
it. D-Lev says, dude on Twitter who said Broom was leaving might block y'all soon. Did anyone send
block
him?
Us for what? Block us?
Oh, yeah. His name is Caleb. I'm sad I said it already. Caleb Benson. And he was like, a source tells me that Broom is getting ready to enter.
Blocking us?
Oh, I quote tweeted him. I was like, y'all remember this?
I told y'all when it came out, I was like, this dude's always wrong. Like, why is anybody even giving this
consideration? I just want to know, did anyone send him the freezing cold takes? I just need freezing cold takes to get hold of this.
Yeah. That dude, boy, I'm telling you. He's wrong from the time he wakes up. He gets on the wrong side of the bed, right? He drives down the wrong side of the street. This dude is just wrong. I was like, where are you getting this from? Because, you know, our sources weren't telling us anything near that. all the smoke all offseason was there's a good chance that Jahni Broome is going to return.
Yeah, it was between coming back or going pro. Like,
I don't think portal didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's why that's what surprised me.
It's not that it didn't make sense. I think people. But let me just say this first and foremost: in all sports, y'all gotta stop paying attention to all these wild numbers that get thrown around with NIL. Like, I think it leads to the apathy that people have for the NIL process when people keep believing that these kids are getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport. There are coaches, and I'm not saying it's a ridiculous proposition, but like, y'all got to think about it. They're not playing coaches that much money, y'all.
Yeah, facts.
Like, for one season, they're not doing this, man. Like, they may help you get deals that lead to you making that much money, but the NIL collective ain't ponying up that kind of money that y'all keep trying to save for all these people re-signing. That's not happening.
Yeah, the exorbitant numbers that you're hearing are overstated most of the time. There may be one guy who can garner that much, but that's like, again, like you can't miss, like, you know, you're like a top 10 player in your sport if they're forking over that kind of money to get you to stay. So, you know, and it's just not smart either way to give that much, allocate that much money to one player. Think about it in terms of a salary cap. There's not an unlimited bucket of money on the NIL side. It's not. As a matter of fact, a lot of these collectives are struggling to keep up with the demand.
Right. That's
for money. Yeah.
Listen, man, it's like, you know, such and such has a bunch of money. Even that is limited, bro. Like, they're not forking over their entire fortune to the NIL collective.
Now,
y'all got to chill with that, John, bro.
Don't get me wrong. I think he got the bag.
No, I'm not saying he didn't get anything.
Yeah,
100% something, because otherwise he could just go pro.
Right. He got the bag. He just didn't get the bank. Right?
Right.
He didn't get the whole vault, right? Like, come on.
Auburn Dad, appreciate you gifting 5 Warport memberships, man. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Let's see here. Got Chapman here says, I love Auburn, but I'm just getting tired of showing up and then getting mediocre results for the team I have invested so much time and money into.
Yeah, you got to make it past the first round. I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think that, like, fans would have been upset that Auburn didn't win the championship last year, but losing in the first round to Yale definitely took the air out of it for a lot of people. And if, you know, I made the trip, I can tell you, if you made that trip to Spokane, you were pissed. Right, because it wasn't a short. I mean, there weren't a ton of direct flights out of the Southeast into Spokane. It was, everything there was super expensive because it was, the NCAA tournament was in town, and Spokane sucks. So, you know, if you made the trip, you know, you got excited. It was supposed to be one of Auburn's best teams ever, and they didn't make it past. I think it's okay to say that part out loud. Auburn has to make it past the first round. Bruce Pearl, though, your $50 million coach has to get you past the first round of the NCAA tournament. He knows that. I think he would agree. Bruce Pearl would agree with that statement.
All right. We can start. We can do this one, and then we get to the break. Things I Love to Do says he going to play, referring to Broome, some 4 and some 5. Do they get another big to play with Dylan, or does Jahni eat minutes at both spots?
You think we see a lot of Dylan and Jahni on the court at the same time this year?
I think it's a possibility that they run them together this season to get Dylan a few more minutes. And I think that they're gonna try to work in a Darren Scott a little bit, AD a little bit.
Okay.
This season at one of
those interesting.
Games. Yeah. He was already on scholar. He was supposed to be this developmental piece that they brought in.
Right.
And I think that they are going to try to work him in a little bit more just to give some more size and ability to get them off of the court at the same time. But that's why I think they will play them at the same time, because they want to supplement those minutes with him a little bit.
Interesting. Well, listen, we're going to come back and discuss the roster. But first, let's pay some bills. Share this video. Smash that like button. Subscribe if you're new to the channel. We will be right back. Guys, let's get back into it, and let's talk about Jani Broome's return and what it means for this roster. So let's take a look at Auburn's roster last year and do a side-by-side comparison as to what the roster is looking like currently on the right-hand side. So last year, you see Auburn's roster listed there to the left. On the right, we have J.P. Pegues, who's the recent enrollee out of the transfer portal, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, Chaney Johnson, Tahad Pettiford, Chris Moore. I think you have him shaded here because it's kind of undetermined what he – I think he's decided
he
what
hasn't
he's
said
do.
Yeah, he hasn't said specifically what he is going to do, and he has graduated already, so it's about whether or not – I haven't heard anything about whether he's staying or returning. So if somebody else has that intel, glad to, you know, make that more permanent, but I haven't heard anything. So yeah, that's the only reason he's shaded there.
Guy Howard listed there, freshman, and Darren Scott, who we just mentioned, who was brought in the prior season in the offseason out the portal. Guys, what do you think about the makeup of this team? Again, like last year, there's a lot of seniors on this team, a lot of the returning experience and key positions. Mike, talk to me. What are your thoughts?
Look, in my opinion, when you look at what's returning, the meat of this, Chad Baker, Denver, Chaney Johnson, is the most important part. Right? The cast around Jani Broome. Like, now you went in, out, and you got J.P. Pegues, and I think he's going to be a really good addition. We have no reason to think otherwise. But, like you said, you lose the energy of a KD Johnson. I wonder how that's going to change the team dynamic. When they get into those lulls, sometimes KD would just come in and give you that boost of energy, get a rebound, hit a three, you know, tear his jersey off, you know, just kind of get you going. This season, Tahad Pettiford, I'm going to really be taking a look at. I'm excited to see this young man play. He's going to get time this year. So we'll see how Bruce Pearl manages his minutes. Chris Moore, he matured as a player near the end of last season. Bruce Pearl told a story, guys, about the conversation he had with Chris when Leo Berman jumped ahead of him in terms of the pecking order. And Bruce said, you know, look, man, I'm making this move right now because Leo is playing better, but you can come back from this. Chris answered the bell, man. In the SEC tournament, he was a whole man in the SEC tournament. So when we talk about the maturity and the seniority of these teams, Chris Moore is a guy that gives you another depth piece that's going to be very, very underrated. Is he going to go out and get you 15 points a night? No. But he'll go out and get key rebounds, and he'll score a bucket, and he can shoot the three. Chris will pull from beyond that arc. So, I get underrated. There's going to be a lot of talk about Pettiford and Ja'Kai Howard, but, man, Chris Moore is going to play some real solid minutes for this squad. I'll be interested to see if Bruce Pearl says again. Last year he told us this would be the greatest balance of minutes of any team I've ever coached. Does he keep that same energy? Or did you tell Jani Broome in the offseason, look, man, you're playing 32 minutes a game every night, as long as you're not in foul trouble, right? I'll be interested to see what he does with the balance of minutes with these guys. I expect all these guys to play. You know, Ike added an interesting note about Darren Scott. I think it would be interesting to see him get minutes this year and see how he works into it. But I think this is a championship squad. I think this squad can win the SEC.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like the thing that jumps out to me when I looked at this and I just bumped everybody up a year is the number of seniors that are on this team. You look at senior like J.P. Pegues, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell is a graduate guy. I didn't put Chris Moore, I should have, as a graduate, but Chaney Johnson, like, senior, like, it's a bunch of experienced guys. This is a team that should not get rattled when the pressure is on. A team that has played a lot of minutes of big boy basketball, and they're going to come out here and they should be dominating some of these younger teams that are going to be out here that just haven't been through these situations. And a lot of these guys are returning guys. So it's not like you've got to relearn chemistry. You're only really adding J.P. Pegues and some freshmen to this mix. So this should be a team that's primed to go out here and be dominant in the regular season and the postseason this coming year.
Ike, what are your thoughts about Auburn's backcourt as it's currently constructed? You got Denver Jones, you got Pegues, and you have Tahad Pettiford. Do you expect to see guys like Ja'Kai Howard or Chad Baker-Mazzara playing some of the two this year? Or how do you think Bruce and company addresses that situation?
I think ideally they're going to want to go get another guard. Another guard to play. And it's probably going to be somebody who nobody's heard of, right? Like he's going to go pull another Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara type guard and bring him in. Or he's going to get one of his guys that was a walk-on and give him a chance to play a little bit this season, in my opinion. Just because you're going to want to be able to rotate guards a little bit more. But JP Pegues is a guy who's used to playing heavy minutes. And so again, with the way that Coach Pearl plays defensively, you know, he may not ask him to play the 25 minutes, you know, 27 minutes per game he was playing last season. He'll play 22, right? But somebody's got to pick up that additional few minutes in the rotations, because I doubt, unless he comes in and he is, you know, what's the kid's name? Howard?
Mm-hmm. Ja'Kai Howard. Yeah.
No, not Ja'Kai Howard. The kid from Mississippi State last year.
Josh Hubbard.
Unless he's Josh Hubbard, kinds of like electric with the ball in his hands, where he can put up 20 something points per game. Tahad Pettiford is. He's going to take some easing in, and he's going to play, you know, 15 or so minutes per game, right? So, you know, the point guard's going to need rest, is all I'm saying. So you need a guy who can come in and play 10 to 12 minutes. And even if you're rotating Denver into that spot into point guard, I think you need another true point guard that can come in and give you Chris Moore type of minutes, right? 10, you know, or Lior Berman type of minutes at the point guard spot. And so it'll be interesting to see how they decide to do that.
Question here that was asked earlier, I was able to grab it. I want to bring it up here. Tim Toolmane Taylor asks, who makes up for Jay Will's production now that he's moved on in the front court? What are your thoughts about this, Ike, in terms of, because I talked a lot about how important Jay Will was. We know what Jani Broome meant for this team, and that he was pretty much a guaranteed 15 points per game every game, right? But you needed a guy, particularly in the front court, who could also take some of the pressure off Jani by chipping in 12 points here or there. How does Auburn replace that? Is this now time for Chaney Johnson to step up?
Yeah. I think if Chaney Johnson can figure out how to stay out of foul trouble, this is absolutely where he becomes, he takes that next step, because he's got all the stuff that you need, right? Like, he can step out and he can shoot the three. He can give you the mid-range stuff. He can get all the way to the rim. He needs to work on his ball handling a little bit to be able, but like, Jay Will wasn't like a great ball handler, right? So he needs to work on that a little bit more. And his athleticism is, I think he's more athletic than Jay Will. And Jay Will's a very athletic young man, right? Like, but Chaney is, he's different, right? And then you got Ja'Kai Howard, who's going to be coming in, who can do all of those things as well. He can be a three-level scorer, and he's got the outstanding athletic. Man, Lobtown we're going to have some crazy Lobtown situations with Ja'Kai Howard and Chaney Johnson next season. Those two young men can jump out of the gym. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how they produce.
Mike, thoughts about the front court?
Ditto on everything Ike said. I mean, look, you've got to figure, like, Jalen Williams, his game matured big time year over year.
Yeah.
You got to be able to shoot the three here in today's college basketball. And, you know, him, again, really evolving his three-point shot was huge for Auburn. But he also could get big down low sometimes as well. He learned how to play with his back to the basket. You know, again, I'll be interested to see. You got Ja'Kai Howard 6'6", right? You know, so he's not a small guy in there. You know, he should be able to get in there and replace some of that production. But I think that, you know, with Chaney and Denver, like, I don't know. Like I said, to me, I think that you have a lot of what you need. It's going to be about depth mostly And, you know, I think they've got it. So, like I said, I agree with everything Ike said. I just think, you know, these guys take the next step. The meat of the roster that I talked about, and Auburn's a good team, and you give the other guys a little time to come along.
What do you need to see from Tahai Pettiford, Ike?
The last two highly touted guards that came into Auburn have not lived up to the first year billing, right? You know, we already talked about what it was last year for Aiden Holloway. And then Chance Westry the year before that. I just need Tahai Pettiford to be showing signs to be closer to the guy that everybody anticipates him to be. Because I think that's the disappointment of how the seasons ended in the past two seasons. It's not a direct correlation, but there's a high correlation between what was anticipated from those young men to produce for the team and what they actually delivered. Chance Westry barely played, right? He was injured almost the entirety of his freshman season here at Auburn. And then, Trey Orr was expected to contribute, but I definitely think that there is a portion. That's why I say it's not entirely linked. But just from a guard standpoint, Chance Westry gave you nothing, right? Like, Trey Orr wasn't even hurt. He just wasn't playing well.
Right.
But Chance Westry didn't even play for the vast majority of the season. And then Aiden just didn't give you what you expected to get from him, right? Like, you were thinking he's going to be, they're going to double Jani Broome. Good luck. Aiden Holloway is going to eat. And he just, he absolutely was out there snacking. Like, he was not taking advantage of the buffet that's available for him on a consistent basis. And you want Pettiford to be a guy who can just go and get you buckets, man. Like, he needs to be what KD Johnson could have been, right? The athletic, small, energetic, come off of the bench and just absolutely light up a second unit, right? And, you know, KD couldn't figure out how to be that guy consistently for Auburn. And you need Tahai to be him, because he's not going to be asked to start. From day one, he's going to be asked to come off of the bench and be a spark plug. Put the ball in his hands, go get a bucket. If he can be that guy and get you 10 points per game and explode every now and then for 20, this team is, I say this a lot about last year's team. If this happens, that's the kind of player that he can be. Man, that's going to be a really tough team to be able to beat.
All right, guys, I'm going to grab some more of the questions and comments. But first, I want to acknowledge Damian Smith for gifting 20 War Report memberships. Yes, thank you, sir, for that. Appreciate you. Corey Weber asks, does the flex offense Bruce Pearl runs prevent five-star freshman guards from shining year one?
No. No, he adapted. They didn't even run flex for the vast majority of the season last year. He played a lot of high screen and roll stuff. They played a lot of five out offense last year. I think what some of these young guys, and I'll speak on Aiden more specifically, they're just used to offenses that where it's they're ball dominant. Like, you look at Aiden's usage rate last year, he had one of the highest usage rates on the team for a guy who produced like 7 points per game, right? Like, but the ball was in his hands a lot, and that's what he's more used to. But he was asked to be more of a facilitator than he was a scorer. And I think maybe that's the thing, but I don't think it's because of the flex offense. Yeah.
Raven Patel asks, is it possible to get a score like UT had with Dalton Knecht?
No. Dalton Knecht was a high usage, you already have I don't even really like using the word phrase alpha, but you already have an alpha on this team. So I don't think you're going to go find another alpha that wants to come and tamp down what he's doing to come play alongside Jani. And I think that they're going to use Denver Jones in a much different way this coming season as more of a scorer as well. I just don't know that you have enough basketball to go around to go get a Dalton Knecht type of scorer on this team.
Yeah, sure. Let's see here. I'm going to grab this question here. Corey Dubb asks, switching to women's, he says, what type of impact can the transfer from Arkansas make on the women's team?
Talia Scott.
Yeah.
Talia Scott has the potential to be a top five player in all of college basketball next year. She's special. She is a special player. She can play at all three levels. She can facilitate. She is very Steph Curry-ish with the ball in her hands. I can't say enough about Talia Scott. What an absolute coup for Johnny Harris to go out and get her out of the portal. Now, this coach recruited really, really well for Mississippi State. As a matter of fact,
she was the best recruitor.
Recruiter on that staff. Yeah, 100%. When John Cohen was the AD there, he actually passed Johnny over for a promotion, the head coach. And now he's at Auburn. And this is a good op. Listen, every once in a while, God gives you a chance to right a wrong. John, this is your time. Extend Johnny Harris. She just went out and got Talia Scott. She convinced her. And I feel comfortable saying that there was very little NIL support.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn Athletics is not quite ready to support women's basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
Needs to be supported.
Yeah. I mean, they're making her do this with nothing. Nothing but smiles and handshakes and good vibes. And they got Talia Scott to come here. She could have gone anywhere in the country. She could have gone to UConn. They would have taken her. Mulkey would have considered it if she wanted to go there. She could have gone anywhere she came here. And if you read the statement that she put out, like, listen, they joke about our family environment, but that shit sells. Because when you come here and you feel it, I could belong here.
You keep hearing that throughout multiple coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. So and that still remains like that. That's Auburn. That's not specific to a coaching staff. That's the Auburn culture. So
yeah. When Don Staley beat South Carolina here, I came down for this one. So he was there. Someone asked her about Johnny Harris, and she said, "Guys, she's here. Johnny Harris has arrived."
Yeah, because the question was proposed in a way of like, "Do you think Johnny Harris like will be?" Right. And she's like, what are you talking about?
She's here. It's like, right. She's arrived. Right.
And listen, and this is no disrespect. I'll let you finish your point, Mike. I apologize. No disrespect to the talent that was on the team last year. She was cooking gourmet meals with scraps. Like those young women have some development that needs to happen for them to even make the play-in game for an NCAA tournament and beat the defending national champions that eventually still went to the fight. Like, she was getting a lot of productivity out of really some girls that's not like who they not like that. Like, but they were given max effort and putting on a brand of basketball that allowed them to win basketball games. Give Johnny just a little bit of something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gonna turn it into something. Like,
and let her cook. And let her cook.
The notion that I've heard floating out there about Johnny Harris not being a good coach is
from who?
One of the more preposterous things that I think I've ever heard.
Wildly asinine.
Wow.
Right. And so, yeah, I'm telling you, like, we heard it though. Caesar, we heard it in preseason about how they thought she was going to get fired and all this stuff. And I'm like, where y'all getting that from? I don't understand. What was the Twitter jerk telling us that they were going to start the SEC 1-9 and all this stuff. They went 8-8 in conference. Right. And before, like, people don't know this, but before that first round game in the NCAA tournament against Arizona, Jemiah Mingo Young completely turned her ankle in practice. I saw a picture of it. It was as big as a melon. I don't know how she even got through some of that game. And they just weren't deep enough on the scoring side to withstand that. They needed points from Jemiah in that game because, once you got to the tournament, everybody was like, stop Honesty Scott Grayson and you can stop Auburn offensively, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They didn't have a good second and third score. And I can't say too much on this, but I will say that I don't think they're done in the portal. And if she adds the pieces I think that she's going to add, or our sources are telling us that she's going to add, Guys, I we told you guys last season, get your popcorn. They're going to be much better than you think they are. And by December, I said Auburn has two tournament teams and people laughed at me. I'm going out on a limb here. If she finishes the job in the portal, I'm going to be screaming Sweet 16 by July. This coach knows how to get the most out of the talent. So if you get her the talent, watch them cook, man. Buy your tickets for Talia Scott, guys, right? You know,
The more I look at the two freshmen that they have coming in, the more impressed I am. Both of these young women were up for player of the year
this year in
Alabama. Yeah. And they're some ball players, man. And so I kind of counted them out a little bit just because I hadn't really looked at it. But man, you put a player like Talia Scott with some girls that have just a little bit more. I don't know, man. And again, this is no disrespect. I think Jemiah Mingo Young, warrior of an athlete.
Oh, like, man, I love just Jemiah. Betrayed
her, at the end of that season. I think that Sydney Shaw is a tremendously talented basketball player who can shoot the lights out. I love the progression of McKenna Eddings towards the end of the season last year and what she was showing. I was actually very disappointed that those two young ladies didn't return because I thought that as they continued to progress, they could be supplemental scorers, especially when you put a focal point. You know, you had your focal point last year in Honesty baller, right? I think Talia Scott's just a different kind of animal.
Yeah, she's a different breed, man. Yeah. Like,
so it's going to put a different kind of strain on defenses that would allow those young ladies more opportunities. To Mike's point, if Coach Harris gets one or two other pieces, this team is going to be astronomically better from a talent perspective next season.
They've done such a great job there, and with the attention that women's basketball is getting, you know, and well deserved, by the way, right? There were some fantastic basketball players on the women's side. I thought that they put on an absolute show in the tournament. We saw some fantastic games. Caitlin Clark versus South. We got Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina and LSU back to back years. Right. I think the better teams prevailed there, but you cannot deny the attention that Caitlin Clark has brought to the game of women's basketball now in the social media era. Yeah. Right. And it's good for the game right now. So, you know, for Coach Harris to go out and get somebody who has that type of scoring capability. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to shoot 30 shots in a Johnny Harris offense. But if you gave Talia 30 shots, she could put up Caitlin Clark numbers. I don't know what to say about it other than I'm excited to see what they do. And I think if she gets a couple more pieces to put around her to develop that depth, just in case, you know, if your Jemiah Mingo Young goes down, you have somebody who can come in.
Yeah.
Right. And provide the same level of production. They were good. They just weren't very deep. And now she has a chance to be good and deep. So
that's the way that she coaches teams to get after it defensively. That's actually very scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Talia's, they didn't play defense at Arkansas last year.
No,
they were not a good defensive team. And she's going to play defense down here, which will create more opportunities for her and her teammates on offense. If they turn the ball over if they turn teams over at the same rate that they did last year, watch out. I would predict an 11-5 SEC schedule next year. Record 11-5 next year. Minimum. That would be the bottom. They play defense at the same rate, and you add Talia Scott, 11-5 in conference next year. And then, you know, if they do better, sky's the limit.
All right, guys, let's keep it moving. P-Pass says, remember Harris wanted Jackson from Tennessee, who was drafted number 4.
NIL, guys. Would have been an Auburn Tiger.
Think about that for a second. Add Rekia Jackson to last year's basketball team alongside Honesty Scott Grayson and Taylor Collins. That's crazy. I don't know who you end up not getting, right? Maybe like Celia doesn't come or McKenna doesn't come.
You win 4 more conference games.
You
add Rekia Jackson to that, you win 4 more conference games and you're 12-14 in conference.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
but Rekia is
the real. And again, Auburn had a legitimate shot because they had the history from Mississippi State. They had a legitimate shot of getting her, but Tennessee just stepped up to the plate a little bit more.
Yeah, man. I mean, they dropped the bag.
Yeah. And they've been very supportive of women's basketball there over the years. I mean,
yeah, like obviously Pat Summitt created a winning history, a winning culture there that carried on through the years. And so they expect, I mean, they just fired a coach. What was her name? Kelly Ward.
Yeah. I was like, actually surprised at that.
I was surprised at that firing.
Yeah. Buzzer beater away from winning the conference. Carolina.
Yeah.
And she ended up getting fired. I thought that they did a really good job down the stretch. Like they underperformed expectations with Rekia Jackson there, but yeah, I was shocked when she got fired. But yeah, she's been there for a while, and I think the Tennessee is just like, listen, man, we gave you some time, but living in the ghost of Pat Summitt, bro, like in the shadow of Pat Summitt.
I like that they demand excellence from their women's program. It shows that they're committed to winning there.
Yeah.
You know, and so now you have a coach at Auburn who's improved this team every year, 3 years straight, and they started at the bottom. Zero SEC wins the year before Johnny Harris took over. 2 in year 1. 5 in year 2, 8-8 in year 3. You know, if she approves again for a fourth year straight, Dawn Staley didn't even get, I don't think she got her team to the NCAA tournament by year 3.
I don't know.
But yeah, there's only a couple coaches who have done it.
And the coaches who are on the same kind of trajectory, like a, if you want to look at what that trajectory looks like, it's going to look similar to what Ole Miss has been doing, right? Like Ole Miss went from bottom of the barrel women's SEC to win a couple of games to, you know, make the tournament in year 3. Like that's what they did. And then year 4, they're out there, you know, I think what they made the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm just telling you.
All right. Steve Bradley says, hey, guys, glad to see Janai come back. Hopefully now he gains some weight, gets stronger to not get pushed around. Also, work more on shooting.
I don't know that the issue for Janai was getting pushed around. I think the issue for Janai was moving his feet a little bit better. I don't think people were bullying Janai. I think they were going around him a little bit too much. So I think get stronger and I don't know that he's going to be able to get much quicker, but I think those are the things that he's got to work on a little bit. You know, cause you see, like he has a very awkward and kind of clunky offensive game. Like when he's doing the, you know, the turnaround shots and it's all, and he doesn't get off the floor very high. Right. So he's not a high riser. He's like a very below the rim kind of player. So he's got to work on the quickness stuff because that's what really was going to determine how well he's going to be able to operate against some of those bigs.
All right. Max Effort says Aiden's struggles were on him. He had the shots and didn't make them last year.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, if Aiden Holloway is looking at anybody else and saying, man, they failed me, I don't know that that's the right way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean,
they continued to play him, continued to start him, even though he struggled and never said, I mean, you heard Coach Pearl say multiple times, I don't think Aiden Holloway's taken a bad shot all season because I think he can make all of those.
Yeah.
Right. They never stifled him. They kept putting him out there to play until the end of the game where they were like, okay, you haven't played well this game. We're going to ride with Trey. But that was because he didn't play well that game. It's not because they stopped believing in him. They're riding the better player for that moment. So, yeah, again, if it's a system fit or it's a culture fit, and I don't know that he had any issues with culture. He and Janai Broome seem to have like a really good big brother, little brother type relationship. You know, again, this locker room talked about how great they were together. So I don't really know what the answer is for what Aiden Holloway's looking for. Mm-hmm. But I do wish him the best. But, you know, if his best is landing across the state, then screw him. You know, and I'll be throttling twice a year.
Sincerely.
Yeah.
James Barnett says, guys, what are your thoughts on the former 5-star cornerback that entered the portal from Colorado? His former defensive coordinator is now on Auburn staff.
The guy that you're talking about.
We're loaded. We're kind of loaded in the secondary.
Yeah. I don't know about the corner, but I know that portal is an Asian Deion up there. Boy, he looked like he put on 10 years. That portal is aging him. His son out here on Twitter, like, hey, DM me if y'all want a spot. Like,
it's rough because the talent just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And Colorado's not really an ideal destination right now. And this was always going to be a problem for Colorado. Like,
Boulder might be worse than Spokane. Like, bro, they super granola up there. Like, I've been to Boulder. It's yeah, man. Listen, they extra crunchy up there, Caesar. Like, I don't, you know, you get kids to come play there, you're pulling off small miracles. That's water into wine type stuff they doing over there, getting kids to come to Colorado. It matters. Look, listen, man, it's funny. Like, if you had a chance, you know, and they said this back in the day, like between Colorado and Miami, you know, guys want to go to Miami. It's Miami. Yeah. Let's go to Colorado. Come on.
I mean, it's
the campus. The campus is not like nice. And like, I don't think the campus is nice, honestly. Yes, I'm just in Colorado. Like I said, I spent 5 days in Boulder on a business trip. And I was very underwhelmed. Like, I was like, wow, this is terrible.
I mean, you understand why people were drawn to Boulder. It was Dion and Dion, right? So,
oh yeah. Until you get there, you'd be like, yeah, I don't know if there's enough to keep me here.
Yeah.
If we ain't winning, I'm out.
Reeves Uppercut asks, speaking of football, does Holden still jump? I expected that announcement day one.
I think he stays put.
Yeah, I think the further we get away from the opening of the portal, the less likely it is that he leaves. Because I think his decision was between leave now, or I think at some point in time he may leave, but it doesn't make sense because you would need to get in there early enough to try to figure out what your new destination is going to be. And
he graduates next this coming December.
So I think it's at this point in time, he's like, I'm just going to wait it out where I am. Compete for QB2 and, figure out what's going to happen post-graduation.
Yep.